as we come together on this morning, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us, singing praises unto him, edifying one another, giving back as he's allowed us to prosper, and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We find on this morning that there are many people in a place of worship. Many are doing what God has required them, what he has asked them to do. And then there are many others not doing what God has commanded them to do. We need to consider our worship on this morning to ensure that what God requires, what God accepts, is what we are offering. In Matthew chapter 7, the verse is 21. Matthew chapter 7, the verse is 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. These are the words of Jesus, stating to those very people, he never said, no, you did not do those things. He never said, you didn't do enough of those things. He merely told them, I do not know you. Depart from me. That was enough. And the reason that that was enough is because obviously they did not do all that was required of them. And that is what we need to think about as we look at this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Trust me. Trust me. That is what we need to think about when God has told us to do something and the way he has told us to do it. We need to trust him. We need to trust him. And there are so many people that do not trust God. They say that they know him, but again, does God know them? If a person really and truly knows God and they understand what God requires of them and they understand what God would do to them if they do not fulfill all that God has told them to do it, the way he has told them to do it, what he'll do to them. We need to think about that on this morning as we look at 1 Samuel 15, and this is just where we're going to start, and then we'll get into some more things on this afternoon looking at trust me. 1 Samuel 15, starting with the first verse. 1 Samuel 15, starting with the first verse. And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, Israel. Now therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Samuel starts out telling Saul, God, the Lord has sent me to anoint you as king. What other position is higher then what Saul is going to be placed in? What other position is higher? There's only one other position higher. Do you all know what position that is? That's the position of being God. That is God himself. Not the one that's anointing the king, but the one that sent the one to anoint the king. But here Saul is going to be the king over God's people, Israel. A great position to be in. One that should be honored. One that should be looked at and respected and said, I am going to do all that God has told me to do. But you know, a lot of times when we are in a position, we take it upon ourselves and we overstep the bounds. We do something that we think is right or something that's going to bring honor to the one that has put us into this position, just to find out that we shouldn't have never done that. And that is what we're going to find with Saul. And we continue, and he says there in verse 2, thus said the Lord of hosts, I have noted that Elimelech did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Elimelech and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. What was he supposed to leave? Nothing. Nobody. You destroy all. Why? Because this is what God said. What has God said? Trust me. I will take care of you if you would just trust me. Just listen to what I am telling you to do. You ever stood before someone and that person stood before you and they said, and you told him or her, go ahead, fall back, I'll catch you. Turn around and look at you like, no, I'm not going to do it. Come on, trust me. I'm going to catch you. And they stand there for about 30 seconds, making up in their mind whether or not they really want to trust you or not. And then they put their trust in you just to be let down. Because it was all a joke. They fall back and you move to the side and they hit the ground and the fight is on. We need to understand that our trust need not be in man, but our trust needs to be in God. He will take care of us. So here we find the words of the Lord. You devote to destruction all that they have. Destroy all. Brother Brian, what does that mean? All? All means all. Could you spell it? And it means, what was that last part? That's all that all means. It means nothing else but all. If God has told us to do something, why do we think that we can do something different? Brother Malachi, I have to appreciate you. I have to. I'm going to let my hair down for you this morning, okay? Brother Malachi made a statement. No one said that they have to work this evening, so attendance should be what, Malachi? It should be good, shouldn't it? Attendance this evening should be good. So no one said they have to work. Now, I know that somebody probably say, well, I'm going to go and tell them I have to work because I'm not going to be there. That's okay, Brother Brian. That's okay, as long as you're working. God has stated in his word, In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. See, we have to understand the importance of what God is saying and why he has said it. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So why do we assemble? We assemble to provoke one another. But Brother DeMille, I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that I know of that you stand for. The love for God. The devoting your time to studying God's Word. Coming to worship service and encouraging others as you come here. You're an encouragement to me, brother. I don't know if I ever told you that before, but I'm telling you before everybody here because there's no secret. We need to understand that we assemble together in order to worship God. He is who our focus should be on, so we should do things the way He tells us to do. He says in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so much more as you see the day approaching. That assembling there is not just one assembly, but that is each time, every time the local congregation that you are, that we are a part of, assembles together. So what's the problem? The problem is this. That you need to go back and you need to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and then really consider verse 23. Because there's going to be many people on that day that says, Lord, I was there at 11 a.m. sharp every Sunday. 11 a.m. sharp every Sunday. And he doesn't have to say what time the Bible class starts. He doesn't have to say what time did evening worship start. He doesn't have to say what time did Wednesday night Bible study start. He doesn't even have to ask you what did you do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. He doesn't even have to ask you that. What he can say is this, because there are different reasons why people are not here, but what he can say is this, depart from me. Depart from me. And there's a reason why he can say that. Because the provoking wasn't there at 10 a.m. The provoking wasn't there at 5 p.m. The provoking wasn't there at 7 p.m. Somebody was missing. And somebody is going to miss out on heaven. They're going to be rejected just as Saul was rejected as being king because he did not do all that God told him to do. He did not do all that God told him to do. This sermon is not on attendance. I just want you to know that, but I really do appreciate you, Malachi, for making that statement. We continue. And he says in verse 4, so Saul summoned the people and numbered them to Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Elimelech and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, go down from among the Elimelechites, lest I destroy you with them, for you show kindness to all the people of Israel. And they came up out when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Elimelechites. That's
smart of them, wasn't it? If you stay here, you're going to die. I come to do the will of the Lord. I'm going to destroy all. That was the intent, hopefully. But he gives these people an opportunity to get away, and they seize the moment. See, when many of us get that warning, you obey God or you're going to lose your soul. You do what is right or God is going to punish you. At that moment, in the heat of the moment, when you hear that word, you're excited and you say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm ready.
And these people, they left from amongst the Elimelechites there. And we look and we see there, As Saul, in verse 7, it said, and Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. He destroyed them. He defeated them, the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit allowed it to be written that Saul did not do all that God told him to do.
He says there in verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But he took the king alive. Is that not disobedience? Did God tell him to save the king? He anointed Saul as being king over his people. Now here he is before another king, and he does not destroy him, but he keeps him.
But that's not it, is it? That's not just the one thing that Saul did wrong. The Bible says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction.
This looks good here. I'm going to keep this. Oh, that right there? Go ahead and destroy that.
Now, you've given an order. And you want to follow this order. But then in the midst of the battle, the orders change. You don't see where God is speaking while they're fighting. He has already given the command. He's already given his word to what to do and how to do it. But King Saul, I'm leading this battle. I'm the one that's in charge. Keep the king alive. Keep all of the fatted animals. Keep them. But everything else that's worthless, destroy it. Destroy it. Now look what happens. Look what happens in verse 10. See, again, we need to understand where our trust need to be. We need to understand that God, he sees everything, whether it's good or whether it's bad. He knows if his commands are followed, and he knows if his commands are ignored. God knows these things. And he doesn't always say anything. But look here. It said the word there in verse 10, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. I regret this, that I have ever made him king. Can God say that about you this morning? I regret that I ever sent my son to save those people. I regret that the church was ever established because of those people. Can God say that about you? I really hope not. I would hope that we would go and we will stand before God, or we're there worshiping him. And then he looked down and he can say, that's my servant right there. He is doing what I want him to do. She is doing what I want her to do. Can God say that about you? We have to ask ourselves that question. Is God pleased with my service? When I call upon the name of the Lord, is my prayers being heard? We need to ask ourselves that question. He says in verse 12, and Samuel, well, going back, let me finish what Samuel did here. The Bible says, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry. And he cried to the Lord all night. He cried to the Lord all night. See, a lot of us don't want to cry to the Lord for a moment. But Samuel cried to the Lord all night because of what God had told him. And in looking and thinking about the disobedience of the king, Samuel cried to the Lord all night.
In verse 12, it said, "And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel. And Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument there for himself. And turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed,'" listen to that. Let me just stop for a moment. You know what the next man has done, and he comes to you and he tells you a lie. How do you feel? What goes through your mind? Do you let them finish? Well, let's see what happens. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What then is that bleeding of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" What is that noise? You know, I preached a sermon about that. What is that noise? What is this that I hear? You have done all that God told you to do? That's a lie, isn't it? The king lying to Samuel, the very one that anointed him king because of what God told him to do. Here he is lying to him. He just didn't know. Samuel did not even have to say. He didn't even have to hear the sheep or the lowing of the oxen. He didn't even have to hear that one because God had already told him. He didn't do what I told him to do. I regret that I ever made him king. He didn't keep my commandments. See, Samuel could have... Shut up, Saul. Let me tell you what God told me. God told me yesterday that you didn't do what he told you to do. And here you come this morning, a new day, telling me that you did. That would have been our conversation with him in many cases, wouldn't it? Don't say nothing else. I don't want to hear it. But he, what is that bleeding? What is this I hear? You're telling me that you've done what God told you to do. And he says, Saul said, "They have brought back from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord of your God." Sacrifice to the Lord, your God. Well, what happened to him being his God? The God that made him king. "And the rest we have devoted to destruction." Well, the best should have been devoted to destruction as well, along with the rest. That would have been all. He says in verse 16, "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night.' And he said to him, 'Speak.' And Samuel said, 'Though you are little in your own eyes, you are not the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.'" What does consume mean? You have a glass of water and you consume that water, that whole glass. That's what it means. No more water is left in the glass. No more of those people. No more of the animals should have been left. Consume them. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag the king." Wait a minute. You're saying that you obeyed the voice of the Lord? But you have brought back the king? There's a problem. The problem is you did not obey. Just as we don't obey from time to time. And we need to look at that. And we need to say, if I'm going to do all that God has told me to do, I need to do all.
He says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. The people. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you about the people. When the leader messes up, the people say, I might as well do what I want to do. He's gone astray. I might as well go astray. But all these things came from Saul. You take what's good, you destroy what's worthless. But the people. And now verse 22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Obey is better than sacrifice. Trust me. That's all God is saying. Trust me. If you do what I tell you to do, you don't have to worry about what sins that you need to repent of. What confessions that you need to be made, that need to be made. If you would only do what God tells you to do. For the man that says, we sin every day. Well, when you say we, who are you talking about? See, I know some people that will tell you, I did not commit a sin today. And then there are others that say, I did commit a sin today. And that's all true. We do not have to sin every day. Again, looking at what Saul is being told here, Saul did not have to disobey God. Saul did not have to take the king. Saul did not have to take the fatted calves, the oxen, the sheep. He did not have to take those things. Saul did not have to lie about it. All Saul had to do was do all that God told him to do. Everything would have been okay. But look what the Bible says in verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. You've been elevated. You've been elevated. Now you've been brought low. That's not a good. Don't even go good together, right? You're king one day, and the next day you're a nobody. No, you're not a nobody. You're the one that disobeyed God. See, we are heirs to the throne, but you know what? We can be rejected by being disobedient. We can be turned away on that great day, away from the throne, thrown into the lake which burns with fire on that great day by being disobedient. So when we say, Lord, I am doing all that you have told me to do, all that you have commanded me to do, are we doing those things? When we sing praises to God, are you lifting your voices to him? When it's time to give, are you giving as God has allowed you to prosper? When it's time to take the communion, or you're taking the communion, remembering the death, burial, and resurrection, the suffering that Jesus went through as you take that. When it comes time to pray, or you pray in the way God wants you to pray. So we have, as we come to our worship service, we have the assembling together. We have the giving as he's allowed us to prosper. We partake of the communion and we sing those praises unto him. And then when it's time to teach or to preach the word, or you're preaching and teaching it the way it is written,
See, we need to look at our lives and we need to say that, yes, God, I am doing all that you have commanded me to do. We're going out into the community, going out and inviting others as you have commanded us to do. Lord, we're trying to bring people to you just as best as we can with what you have given us, with the ability that we have. We're doing all for you, ready to fight the good fight of faith. Standing for the truth, contending earnestly for the faith. Lord, when they are rejecting, not me, but when they're rejecting you, I'm willing to turn my back on them as you have turned your back on them. Can God say that? Can you say that to him? And God say, my child, you are doing what I want you to do. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Do not be rejected on the last day. God will not reject you if you have done what he has told you to do. But if you have not done those things, you will be rejected. Trust me. That's God. Trust me. If I don't ask you to do it, don't do it. That's God. That's God. He will never ask you to do anything that you can't do. You know, we say sometimes it's too hard. Think about that statement just for a moment. It's too hard. Not impossible. It's too hard. You can get some help. The eunuch, you know, what did he say? How can I understand unless some man guide me? It was hard for him to understand. But once Philip guided him, he understood. And what did he do? This sermon, as we look at it, talking about trust me, is dealing with doing exactly what God has told you to do. He didn't tell Saul, I want you, and this is leading into this evening. He didn't tell Saul, what I want you to do is I want you to just pray. He didn't tell Saul that, did he? He said, I want you to go, and I want you to destroy. See, there are times where we spend too much time praying instead of going. We don't do what God told us to do because we are praying. It's okay to pray. I'm not going to tell you not to pray, but I'm going to tell you don't spend all your time praying. Spend time doing what God has told you to do. Now, what it really is leading into is for that individual that says he wants to be a child of God, and this is how I'm going to become a child of God, is by praying to him. That's not what God has told people to do. What he has told people to do, we go to Acts chapter 2, and the verses 38. When they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter didn't say pray. Peter said repent and be baptized. Ananias, when he was talking to Saul about becoming a child of God, Saul had prayed for 3 days. And Ananias told him to arise. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. He didn't tell him, Saul, you keep praying. Sooner or later, you're going to be saved. That's not what he told him. Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we have to understand obedience. Obedience. And if you do not obey, if you do not do what God tells you to do, you will be rejected. You will be rejected. None of us, again, like rejection. We do not like rejection. You're number 59. You should have been number 58. The door is closed. Don't have enough room for you. What? You mean to tell me I let this... This is where we are as men. You mean to tell me I let this lady in front of me and you're not going to let me in? When we do that, when we go to stores, you know, somebody go in, you let them in front of you and they go in and they get that last item that you wanted. You be like, man, why did I do that? Why did I do that? But I want you to understand this, that heaven is big enough for each one of us. The only way we will be turned around is because of something that we did not do or because something that we did do. You mean to tell me I'll be turned around for something I did do? Yes, that is you did sin. You did something that God wasn't pleased with. You transgressed against the law. Let's not allow that to happen. God is waiting for each one of us to get our lives in order. He's waiting for us to obey his commandments. And we have the right, just as Samuel has had the right, to go to someone and tell them, you're not doing what God told you to do. And you know what people will do? They'll look us dead in the eye and lie to us. After we've seen in the Word what you're supposed to do, and we've seen what you have done, and we can tell them, you did not do what God told you to do. Rejection comes from God. And as God rejects people, we have the right to reject them as well. But God wants them to come back. And we should want them to come back. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you have not done what God has told you to do in order to become a Christian, and you find that in the Word. To hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, to be baptized, to continue to grow. All those scripture references are right there. Hearing, Romans 10:17. Believing, John 8:24. Repenting, Luke 13:3. Confession, Matthew 10:32. Being baptized, 1 Peter 3:21. Growing, 2 Peter 3:18. Being faithful, 1 Corinthians 15:58. We have to do what's right before God. We have to obey. We have to obey. And then if you fall short, after obeying, do not allow that to keep you from coming back. Galatians 6:1. He talks about when you find your brother who is caught up in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we have to go to them and we have to tell them. We have to try to restore them. As Peter told Simon in Acts 8, may your money perish with you. You need to have part in a lot in this matter. Pray for me. Pray for me is what Simon said. That what you have said, that it may not happen to me. See, we need people to ask for prayer. We need people willing to confess their sins, as it talks about in 1 John 1:9. If you confess your faults to him, he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So let's do what's right. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, prayer is not going to get you there. Confession will get you partly there. Baptism will put you in Christ. According to Galatians 3:27, then you live faithful. You rise out of that watery grave to walk a newness of life, doing what you're supposed to do. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we're encouraging you this morning to become one. If you are a child of God and you have strayed away, we're encouraging you to come back. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, please come. 2:16.